everybody. Welcome to All Have Another Podcast with Lindsay Hine. Today you are listening to episode 44, and it's a little bit different. In almost every episode, I interview a woman who I think is motivating, inspiring, fun, funny. And today we are interviewing, or having a conversation with, I should say, my husband, Glenn. So if you're new to the show, this episode's a little bit different than what the norm is. This is episode 44, and we're talking with my husband, Glenn Hine. In this episode, we have a very casual, fun conversation. We talk a little bit about how we met. Actually, that ends up being longer than I expected, but whatever, it's kind of funny. And then we get into talking about his running progression, how when we first started dating, he wasn't really a runner at all, and how he's taken an entire hour off of his marathon time. And then we get into a little bit of talk about what his favorite bands are, his top five favorite Pearl Jam songs. We are definitely a music-loving family, so we always have a lot of fun talking about that kind of stuff. Before we get started talking with Glenn, I want to thank Generation UCAN for sponsoring this episode of All Have Another Podcast. Generation UCAN is powered by a superstarch, and it is a great fuel source for your next long run or workout. I encourage you guys to all try it out. Glenn uses it. I use it. We both really like it. You guys can go to generationucan.com/another to get 15% off your next order. I want to let you guys know that I did start a Patreon page, and if you have the desire, if you're a regular listener of the show, to support the show in any way, you guys can just go to patreon.com, patreon.com, and just search for I'll Have Another Podcast with Lindsay Hine. And there are different incentives for the different levels that you can choose to support, including bonus episodes that are starting in January. I'm going to start putting out at least one episode a month in January. That is for Patreon users only. Hey everybody, make sure you're following me over on Instagram for all new information about the podcast and of course cute pictures of my kids. You can find me at Lindsay Hine 626, and you can also find me on Twitter at Lindsay Hine. You guys can also find Glenn on Twitter at ghine83 if this episode intrigues you and you think he might be fun to follow. He has a lot of hot takes on Twitter though, so I don't know if you want to go there. All right, everybody, and a little disclaimer here. We did record this over Christmas break, so you will hear my kids in the background a little bit. I usually keep that very minimal, but this week it's a little more than usual. All right, everybody, enjoy this conversation I had with my husband. So hopefully Russell stays asleep for us. I'm going to cry if he doesn't. Are you nervous?
It's kind of awkward.
I feel like you're uncomfortable right now.
Yes, yeah, kind of uncomfortable being interviewed by my wife. Kind of awkward.
Well, first of all, I want to say this. You know, I really want to get this recorded because I just went to the garage and got you a new beer. And that's like prime, I'm going to run into a mouse time. It's late, it's dark, it's cold, there's mice in that garage. And I so badly wanted to record this that I sacrificed, you know, being scared and got you a beer.
You're so brave.
I know. Like, normally would I ever do that?
No.
Never.
No.
I just stress ate 3 Reese's cups, or Reese's in the, like, little ones, mini
Why
ones.
Why are you stressed?
Well, like, when I couldn't get Russell to be quiet,
I calmed him down in, like, 20 seconds.
No, you didn't. You're
I did. No, yes, I did.
Okay, first of all, I just had him for the last 2 hours, and...
Yeah, and he kept fussing.
Did you see me sneaking those Reese's?
Yeah,
like,
I
did you know what I was up to?
I saw you eating them, yeah.
Did you know I had 3?
No, I didn't know you had 3, but I saw you eating them.
That was totally, like, stress eating. Is it going to distract you that this is on the TV?
No.
Okay.
I don't think so.
How intense are those 3 hours before, 2 hours before bedtime?
Yeah, they suck.
Well, they don't always suck.
No, not always. Today was tough.
I feel like because we went to the Y at 4... and we didn't get home till 5:30, and they go to bed around 7. Like, it was rush, eat, everybody go to sleep.
Yeah, Lewis didn't really nap that much today.
And the whole time I was just thinking, I hope Glenn doesn't get in a bad mood and say he doesn't want to record the podcast.
I mean, what time? So it's 9:05 right now?
I was trying really hard.
I mean, at like 8:15, I was like, I just want to go to bed.
I made dinner.
Good job. It was good, too.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
So, okay, everybody, we are interviewing my husband, Glenn. We're not interviewing. I never say that I'm doing interviews. It's a conversation. It's never, sometimes it's an interview, but usually it's a conversation. So I would say that Glenn is probably my number, I don't know if you're going to get offended. I was going to say you're my number two supporter of the podcast.
I mean, I'm kind of offended by that.
Who do you think I'm thinking
of? I mean, Sweet Life, you're going to say, is number one.
My sister.
Yeah.
I mean,
for people that don't know, Sweet Life's her sister, Erica. Her blog is Sweet Life Erica, so she's the Sweet Life.
We call her the Sweet Life. I mean, you're definitely a big supporter. I have to have your support on more levels than I have her support as far as your husband and we're raising three children together. But I feel like she's been my number one supporter as far as, like, giving me ideas.
She's probably more of a sounding board, yeah.
Yeah, she's my cheerleader.
I mean, I'll be honest, I don't really listen to it. It doesn't really strike me as, like...
Liar, first of all. You're lying.
About what? That I don't really listen
to?
Okay,
okay, so I've put out 43 episodes.
Yeah.
How many of those do you think you've listened to?
Like 5 or 6.
Okay, name them.
I listened to Zoom.
Bob Kennedy.
I listened to Molly.
Okay.
I listened to Michelle Gonzalez. I listened to Claire.
Claire Dietrich.
Yeah. There's another one from the beginning I listened to.
You listened to Laura Anderson.
Yeah.
I have some more that you would like for sure. Okay, so from now on, do you want me to tell you this is the episode I think you should listen to?
Sure, yeah.
I think Claire Dietrich. Okay, so you went on your run yesterday. You ran 10 miles. What was the podcast you first listened to before you started listening to mine?
I was listening to that episode of Crime Town.
Crime Town. Okay, I've never listened to Crime Town. I would hate that one.
Yeah, you wouldn't like it.
Okay, so you listened to Crime Town, and then you got 30 minutes into my episode with Claire.
Yeah.
And you said you liked it.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, Claire, if you're listening, she is by far, and no offense to anybody else who's been a guest, but she's by far one of my favorite guests. She was so easy to talk to, and, she's so interesting. Like, who's done what she's done? And you said yourself that now you want to start doing ultras again, maybe, or she inspired you to maybe start doing them again.
Yeah, it was enjoyable to listen to her talk about it.
So will you do another ultra?
I'm sure I will, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably going to wait to have kids be a little bit older.
Yeah, it's tough. So I want to tell everybody how we met. I feel like some people that are listening to this podcast have heard our story before, and people that maybe follow us on Twitter know a lot more about us than regular listeners of this podcast who found it through other ways. But how we met, do you want to tell everybody how we met?
I'll probably give a much abbreviated version of how we met. Skipping some of the details.
Okay, so we both went to IU. I grew up in Bloomington, and long story short, I didn't get accepted to college. I didn't get accepted to IU, everybody. And my best friend Sarah, her mom was a teacher at IU. And is she a professor?
Yeah, she taught K-201 and stuff like that.
Yeah, business classes. And she basically wrote a letter to the admissions office and said she would be my sponsor, so that she was like vouching for me that she thought I would do a good job. And
you're such a terrible student.
I know, I'm a really bad student. But anyway, so Sarah's mom, my best friend Sarah, her mom is the reason I got into IU.
So you're basically saying Bart Miller's why we're basically married and have three kids.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you'd be like pregnant and in the west side of Bloomington shopping at Walmart. No offense to people shopping at Walmart, but...
Okay, first of all, that's not true.
I don't know.
Because...
What would you have done?
I don't know what I... Honestly, I would have been...
You gone to, like, Ivy Tech and dropped out after, like, a year and a half and said, I'm just going to get a job.
No. I don't know. Because here's the thing is, I think I still would have, like, ran around with my friends that went to IU if I stayed in Bloomington. I think
what... You'd still be in Bloomington.
No, I think what would have happened was I would have applied to other colleges that were easier to get into, like a college that like they let anybody into.
You'd leave Bloomington and go to like Southern Indiana?
I don't know. I would do something. I was gonna go to college. Like
right.
That was gonna happen. And maybe it would have been a semester later. But anyway, so I went to IU and I still didn't get very good grades, but I did graduate.
You did.
And that's a story for another day about my grades, but...
You still haven't mentioned anything about how we met.
I know, I'm getting there.
Oh, okay.
So, another way somebody pulled strings for me, I needed a job, and my dad... I'm such a loser.
Yeah, you kind of are.
So this was the summer before my junior year, I think. I was looking for a job, and my dad was friends with the owner of the village, or was friends with somebody that was the owner of the Village Deli, and he called him and was like, "Hey, my daughter applied for a job there. She hasn't been hired yet. Can you pull some strings?" I mean, come on. I forgot about that, to be honest.
Yeah, I knew that, but I forgot that too. I did know that though.
Okay, so how'd you get a job at the Village Deli?
I walked in and asked for an application and they hired me on the spot.
Yeah, because Bob, the owner, Bob Costello.
Bob happened to be there.
He was like working the hostess stand.
Yeah, he interviewed me on the spot and gave me a job.
Like, he was like, "I'm desperate for cooks."
10 minutes later.
Yeah. So, because Glenn worked at Shoop's. It's a hamburger place.
It's a local Northwest Indian institution.
Yeah. Yeah. So, he was like an experienced cook.
I had a lot of short order line cook experience, be it breakfast and lunch cooking.
Was that your first job while you were at IU? I mean, I know you went home for the summers
was
and worked.
What?
Like working at the deli, was that your first job at IU?
Yeah, I didn't work during school my freshman and sophomore year. So I got a job working during the school year. That would have been what?
Was it your junior year?
Yeah, it would have been second semester of junior year. So it would have been like in January or something.
You were locking that job in because you knew this is my last year at IU. I'm staying for the summer between junior and senior
year. I mainly got the job because I was like, well, I'm going to have to start getting some sort of resume together so I can apply for real jobs when I graduate.
Yeah.
So you had to have some sort of like extracurricular activity besides playing basketball at the Hyper and going out.
But wait, when you went home for summers before, so Glenn stayed in Bloomington. Glenn's from Crown Point, Indiana. And Glenn stayed in Bloomington the summer between his junior and senior year.
Mm-hmm.
But all the other summers you went home.
Yeah, I went home. I would go home and work, yeah.
And you worked at Shoop's or did you like mow lawns?
Well, so the first summer I mowed lawns and cut my thumb off almost.
He still talks about that and like there's like the smallest, like most tiny part of
his
thumb.
You could be married to an amputee. Like,
it is like the smallest piece of your
thumb. I almost lost my thumb. Like, no, that's like I had surgery. Like, it's no joke.
Okay.
No, so I mowed lawns for my high school teacher.
Okay.
She ran a lawn crew and I mowed lawns. And then the other summer, then sophomore year, I worked at Shoop's the other summer.
And that's where you worked in high school too?
Yes.
Right. Okay. So back to how we met. I had been working at the deli for a lot longer than you.
Well, I started in like January of my junior year.
Yeah, and I think I had been there for already a year. And the thing about the Village Deli is, the Village Deli is a breakfast place in Bloomington, and it's on Kirkwood, which is like the main drag, like where Kilroy's and Nick's and everything is. But anyway, we were working there, and it was the summer, and my friend Emily and I...
This would have been the summer between junior and senior year, yeah.
Yes. So I literally had a boyfriend from the time I was like 16 until I was 15 or something until I was 20, right? I was single the year before I met you. That was the 1 year of my life I was single, basically. And I'm so glad I had that year. But that summer, I was living the single life. And Emily and I made lists of the top five guys at the deli we'd make out with.
Classy.
We were like 21. We were like 20, and it was like all a joke.
Yeah, you've been 21.
Okay, we were 21.
Yeah.
It was just like all for fun. Like, who are the top five guys that work at the deli? And I think you were number one on my list. I don't think anybody was ahead of you. You were on my list. I don't think you were on Emily's list, though.
Doesn't know.
So I told Jackie Carr, who was on this podcast.
Mm-hmm. Who was also my roommate.
Okay, yes. Jackie was episode 34. Okay. So Jackie was, I knew that you and Jackie were tight.
Mm-hmm.
She lived with you and like eight other guys. She basically lived in a fraternity.
I met Jackie first semester, freshman year. We had like the basic English class together.
Were you the connection? Like why she lived with all the guys?
No. She then like became buddies with Clerkin and all those dudes. And then she needed somewhere to live when she came back from semester abroad, I think, and we had a room, and she then lived with us for a semester.
I can't believe she lived in that house.
And she was just like one of the dudes.
No, I love Jackie. I'm just saying, like, I can't believe she lived in that dirty house. Like,
well, it went progressively downhill.
Okay.
The first year wasn't as bad as the second year.
Yeah. It was pretty, I mean, you're not a dirty guy either. Like, I think, generally speaking, you keep yourself and, like, your things and your, I think you keep things pretty clean and organized compared to a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And I wasn't staying at that house.
No, it was pretty dirty. It was pretty gross.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, it's 10 dudes living in a house together. What do you expect?
So I told Jackie that you were on my list. And I was like, just let Glenn know he's on my list or whatever. And she's like, all right, I will. And so then we would, like, text. Or then, like, there were, oh, we always had the Village Deli. There was always the Monday parties. Mm-hmm. There was party every Monday. Different people had the different Monday parties. So I was like, oh, Glenn's going to be at the Monday party. I remember I'd, like, drunkenly put your number in my phone and I misspelled your name. And I, like, left it in there misspelled for a long time.
How'd you misspell it?
I like, asked.
Did you put only one N?
No, I put M in instead of.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. It wasn't like I didn't put only. I know you have a thing with people.
Yeah, I really dislike that.
I know you don't like it when people spell your name with only one N. But anyway, the first time we were going to hang out, I remember, people were going bowling or something. You're like, yeah, we'll meet up later, whatever. You didn't call me until like 11 p.m.,
standard college time to hang out.
No. I was pissed.
I knew. I could tell.
Yeah, I was like, no, we're not hanging out.
I figured that out very quickly.
Yeah. So we didn't hang out. And then, how did this transpire? Like, when Jackie told you that Lindsay said you're on the top five, were you like...
I was like, okay, yeah.
You were like, she wears weird pants.
I do remember that. Yeah, you did wear weird pants. Well, my initial impression of you was, oh, she's the girl that didn't invite me to the party. I was kind of new, and like, I can picture it in my mind to this day. I got stuck like washing dishes because I was like the new guy, so I was like on dishwasher duty, and you're sitting there talking to Clett Bellini about, hey, we're having a party, come on by, and like, I'm just sitting there hanging out, and just, oh, that sounds like fun, just completely ignored. I was like, oh, I guess I don't get to go to the party, okay. I don't know, so that would have been...
I didn't. That was before you were on my list.
No, yeah,
I didn't
know
who you were.
I was pretty new at that point.
I had no idea who you were.
Oh gosh, so it was like right before like the 4th of July and all that stuff. Because then I remember we like started like texting and talking at like parties and going out, and then
you went home for.
I went home for the 4th of July, which you were super bummed about.
I was bummed,
but not that bummed
because I wanted you to come to my party.
Yeah,
because we were having a 4th of July
right.
party. So we went out one night, and I ended up going back to your house, and I think I slept on the couch. Anyway, mm-hmm. My point is, this isn't
sleep.
Yeah, okay. I slept on the couch. I got up in the morning, and it was like 7. I think I had to work at like 10 or something at the deli. And I was like, so your house was probably what, like a half a mile from my house, if that? So I was 14th in Washington. You're 8th
in
Washington.
Yeah, about half mile, yeah.
I didn't think you had a car. So I was like...
No, because I rode my bike to work.
So I was like, oh, he rides his bike. And a lot of college students didn't have cars. So I was like, well, I'll just run home. But the funny thing about that is I'm from Bloomington. So, like, I was totally... I would have been ashamed of walking at home. And, like, who's driving around at 7 in the morning in Bloomington?
GA.
My dad. Okay. So I was like, well, I guess I'll just do it. So I ran home, and then we worked together the next day. And then, like, a week later, I found out that you had a car.
I had a Jeep.
He has a car? Yeah. And I told him I was leaving, and he didn't offer to drive me home?
I probably just looked up from a bed. All right, see you later.
Yeah. That's kind of, like, that's one of the things about you.
What do you expect from a 21-year-old college guy?
I expect for you to be like, that's my future wife. She's hot. I'm going to drive her home.
I mean... Looking back, yeah, I should have done that, but, like, whatever.
But going back to that, when I put you on my list, I was like, he's on my list, but I'm, like, not looking for a husband. I'm not going to marry this guy. I thought that, so a lot of people that worked at the Village Deli went down to Bloomington, started college, started partying, smoking a lot of pot, doing that kind of stuff, and, like, dropped out. Like, so many people that worked at the deli were college dropouts. Do you think that's safe to say?
That's a broad generalization of the entire staff, probably. The line cooks had a lot of dropouts.
Okay, the line cooks. That's yeah. true. Yeah. Not everybody, but there were a lot of line cook dropouts.
That's a pretty good characterization of the line cook.
So I was like, I didn't even know if you were in college. And then Emily Beard, who is Emily Gunselman now, she's one of my very best friends. She was like, Lindsay, Glenn's in the business school. Like, he's pretty normal.
Because Emily probably took an interest in me and, like, listened to conversations.
Emily's a silent bystander like your sister Megan. She hears everything. She doesn't miss anything. She's very quiet, but she pays attention. She knows.
Yeah.
And I was just, like, probably dancing and talking and being loud in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So then I waited on your parents one day. Dave and Peg came to Bloomington to visit. And they were like, hey, this was before you made my top five list. I didn't even know who you were.
Yeah.
And they were like,
oh, yeah, I remember this.
They were like, hey, we are Glenn's parents. Can you tell them we're out here? I'm like, okay, sure. I come back to the kitchen. I'm like, who's Glenn?
Yeah, you came busting in and your loud mouth ways.
Who's Glenn? Who's Glenn? And they were like, oh, he's the guy on the toast.
Yep.
You were working the toast and... So I said,
don't bash the toast. Toast is needed.
Okay. Well, I was like, oh, hey, your parents are out there. So then I do remember thinking, oh, that guy's parents are normal. Guess that gave you points. That's probably what Dave and Peg are probably the reason you even made it to my top five in the first place. Because I was like, he has normal parents. Like, he's clean.
Thanks a lot, Mom and Dad.
But anyway, so we started dating that summer, and I was like, not going to marry you, though.
No, you tried to break up with me a couple times, for sure. Pretty much how it went down.
I mean, you basically were like, why? We're not breaking up.
Yeah, you didn't have a very good reason to break up with me, so I basically didn't say, I was like, no, I'm not having that.
I was nervous that, like, it was going to be this relationship that just went on, and, like, I wouldn't grow as a person, and you wouldn't be good for me. And you proved yourself time and time again.
Hopefully you're happy with your decision.
Okay, so that was, like, way too long of a explanation of how we met.
Yeah.
I might have to cut some of that.
Yeah.
That's really long. So, I should tell everybody, when we started dating, you were not a runner.
I was not, no.
And we don't, like, running is not, people on the internet probably think running is, like, the focal part of our relationship, but that's not true.
No, it's definitely not, no. I get asked all the time, so you ran in high school and college? I'm like, nope.
So, Glenn probably weighs, like, do you weigh, like, 165, 170?
Yeah, so I'm, like, 6 foot, 165 pounds, probably.
So he's right a good, now. Healthy weight. When we met, he weighed 230. Is that true? 220. 225.
Oh, gosh. So, we met, right, so, went into senior year. I probably peaked in college.
He peaked.
In
weight, not in life.
Right.
He's claiming that he's not peaking in life for, like, 10 more years.
Oh, yeah, no. I definitely haven't hit my peak yet, no. No, for sure. I mean, I think, like, early 40s, you probably hit, like, the peak.
Like, you hit the peak or I'm going to hit the peak? Well, I feel like you think I peaked, like, 5 years ago.
No, you haven't peaked yet.
When am I going to peak?
Probably peak at the same time.
I don't think that's true.
Are you talking about, like...
I'm talking about, like, just, like...
physical appearance?
Everything. I saw something on the Today Show that said women peak at 32. I'm 33.
Bye.
And I think men are, like, 40.
Yeah, dudes definitely peak later from a look standpoint.
It probably depends on how, like, well you take care of yourself. Not probably, definitely.
No, yeah, like, I mean, if I was, like...
I feel like, not now, because I just had a baby 8 weeks ago, but I feel, like, more confident in how I look and my body and everything at 33 than I did at 23, for sure.
At 23, you don't know anything.
Actually, though, 23 is post-college. I was already losing the, like, extra college weight and, like, terrible party lifestyle.
Yeah, but, like, just having a good physical appearance doesn't mean anything. Like,
well, you feel good about yourself when you look good. That's just true.
I look back at, like, from 33 to 23, like, I don't know anything at 23.
No, I know. Anyway, so you're peaking in 10 years. You're peaking at 40.
Right, no, we're talking about...
Let's peak in life at 50, though, because then if we live to be 100, we're peaking halfway through.
Yeah, we're probably not going to live to be 100.
You don't know that.
Maybe.
It happens all the time. Maybe. People live that long.
Well, as long as my kids and you don't kill me.
I just hope that... I think I want you to die first, but just like a day before me.
That seems about right.
Yeah, just like one day. Or like 6 hours. Or like 4 hours, even. As long as we're old.
Like The Notebook?
How The Notebook works?
I think so.
Okay, first of all, I don't even know how it works, and you do.
I've seen it before. We've watched it together.
Of course we've watched The Notebook together. That's like what you had to do. Like every guy has to watch The Notebook with their like future potential wife.
Like die together in the same bed or
did
something.
Did The Notebook
like that.
Come out after we were together?
We were dating, I think.
Like when it came out?
I don't know. We'd have watched it at like your house.
I'm just trying to think if it was before us or if like we watched, I like rewatched it with you.
No, I mean, I took you to Old School and bought your ticket and pressed you.
Like if you hadn't bought my ticket, I would have been like, who are you? But I felt awkward either way. I hated dates. Made Emily.
I know, yeah, you made me go out on a date with you and your two friends. Basically the first date I ever tried to take you on, I got to take your friends out too.
You didn't take them out. You didn't pay for them.
No, but like they came with to Lenny's.
Yeah, no. I think we went to McCree's.
Oh, we went to Lenny's.
Are you sure?
Yeah, and you ordered vegetarian chili with cheese and didn't eat it because it was sloppy.
Oh, gosh. I just hated dates because, like I said, I only had 1 year of being single, and I think I had only been on like 3 dates with other people ever, like that weren't just like we're going out to parties, like real dates at dinners. And I hated them so much that I was like, I'm never doing this to myself again.
Yeah, and then we went to the movie, and then you had me over for dinner at your house.
I invited your sister. Or is that a different night?
That was different.
Oh, and you were really impressed because I wore a shirt that had a turtle on it, and I made pasta.
Yeah.
And you were like, why is she wearing that weird shirt?
Yeah, that turtle shirt, yeah. The white turtle shirt, yeah.
It wasn't even my shirt. It was my roommate Shannon's shirt. Where are we at?
We had started talking about my weight.
Oh, yeah. How you were tubby tub.
Yeah. Yeah, I probably peaked out in, like, the winter of junior. So, like, right around the time when I got the job at the Village Deli, and I would eat guac and hot chips on the line.
Ugh.
Probably, like, 235 would probably be my heaviest, I bet.
You woofing guac with hot chips on the line was almost enough for me to be like, never mind.
I mean, that's how you end up being 235 pounds.
Yeah, eating Taco Bell at 3 in the morning.
Oh, I mean, I would play basketball. Paul taught basketball class.
Yeah,
I know.
Paul was in our wedding.
Yeah, I would take, and he was my roommate and he was in our wedding.
The British Ninja.
Yeah. I would play basketball at like 11 in the morning, and then I would go get number 5 at Taco Bell.
Like, what is the number 5? Like, you know what the number 5 is.
Yeah, it was Nachos Bel Grande the number 5 might have been a couple Mexican pizzas and like some Taco Supremes.
Ew.
And like a Mountain Dew and like
a real Mountain Dew.
Yeah, like a real Mountain Dew. And like hammer that and then like go take like a 2-hour nap.
Ew, like, that's so gross.
Like, no wonder I weighed 235 pounds.
That's so gross.
Then I'd wake up and go to class at like 3 o'clock.
You were one of those people that only scheduled later classes.
No, that's not true.
Oh, okay. No.
Uh-uh.
Okay. Did you ever skip class?
No.
You were not a class skipper.
No.
But you didn't really ever study. You did, but not a lot.
Yeah, I would do my work.
Glenn's the kind of guy that, like, I think you... Did you graduate college with a 3.6?
Something like that.
Yeah. Know. A 3.6 GPA, Kelley School of Business in Finance, and, like... I bet I studied 95 times more than you did.
Probably.
Yeah. And I can't
tell. You had hard classes, though.
I did have hard classes, but like science classes.
Right, yeah.
I took organic chemistry 3 times. You would have passed it on the first try with a B-.
I'd have got
because I bet you would have been like, I bet you would have been willing to work hard, but not very hard. And you would have been like, well, with this one class, I can get a B- and just be fine. I don't know.
I wouldn't have been happy with a B-.
And did you, what was the lowest grade? What was the lowest grade in any class you ever got in college? What class was it?
I'm kind of embarrassed.
What was it?
So, I got 1 C, my last semester of senior year in some political science class that I just.
Oh, you just did?
I just completely just like checked out. Yeah.
Is that the only C you ever got?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Vomit.
I was so pissed.
It's so annoying.
I did it to myself, though, but I was still pissed.
Yeah, but it's annoying that that's the only C you ever got. That is ridiculous.
It's kind of hard to get a C.
No, it's not. It's kind of like, that's normal to get a C.
Oh.
I If I could have got a C in organic chemistry the first time around and that just been that, I would still be celebrating that. I'm not kidding.
I know how hard that was.
You know how devastated I was? You know how devastated I was the second time around that I failed it? Or I didn't fail it. I got a D, but a D was failing. Oh, man. That takes a lot of, like, tenacity. Is that the right word?
Mm-hmm.
To take it a third time. So back to you weighing 230. So our senior year, we start our senior year, and we're like, we're dating. We're like, we're serious. All right, everybody. We had to take a 15-minute kid break. Two kids are crying. One, we're gonna see if he'll figure it out in his crib. Anyway, back to the running thing. So we ran a 5K together. You beat me, I think.
Yeah, I did.
But you walked.
I did walk.
Like, you couldn't I didn't walk. I ran the whole thing.
Still beat you, though.
But you had to stop and take a walk.
Right? I did. It was, like, the hardest thing ever. I stopped and walked, like, I don't know. It was probably, like, 600 meters from the finish line.
How did you beat me?
I don't know.
I don't think you beat me by very much.
I still beat you, though.
So I think did you run, like, 22 minutes or something?
Probably.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I always ran in college. Like, I exercised regularly. Like, I probably never went an entire week without doing something. So I was in, like, decent shape, but you had just started, like, running to try to not be so healthy.
Yeah, I had started to run to lose weight, like, right before we started dating. And then we ran that 5K in September.
So I feel like we ran a couple 5Ks. And then I said I was going to sign. Oh, I had done the mini marathon the year before.
Yeah.
So I did the 500 Festival mini marathon my junior year. And I hadn't trained. I was like, yeah, I'll sign up for that. My entire family, except for my little sister. So my mom, my dad, my older sister, and I all ran it. And I was like, I'm going to do it again just because. And I said, do you want to do it with me? And they're like, yeah, I'll do it. I can't remember. Did you beat me?
I did.
Okay, you did beat me.
Mm-hmm.
By a lot?
I don't remember. I feel like I ran like 141 or something like
no,
that.
No, you did not run that fast.
I think so.
No.
Look it up.
I'll look it up. Do you want me to look it up right now?
Look it up right now.
500 Festival Mini Marathon.
I feel like I might even ran a 138.
No, hell no, you did not run a 138 the first year you did it. You are dreaming. So it would have been 2006, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
500 Festival 2006 Mini Marathon results. Let's see. I bet you ran like 147 and I ran like 149. Glenn, you wore a cotton t-shirt that said, I get it every night from Pizza Express. I do know that. I don't know. I feel like you should look this up. You'll be way faster than me. I'm struggling. You're looking it up?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we had to take a short kid break. Actually, it was a really long kid break. It was Tuesday night when we were recording that, and we had to restart on Thursday afternoon. I want to take this time, though, to thank Generation UCAM for sponsoring this episode of I'll Have Another Podcast. Actually, for sponsoring the entire month of November and December. What a great partnership. Generation UCAN is the fuel that you need for your next long run or workout. Dr. Jeff Folick says superstarch represents a major advancement and is legitimizing the most exciting development in sports nutrition this century. It provides a carbohydrate source that delivers steady energy without blocking the ability to burn fat. I use this product. Glenn Hine, who we are talking to, uses this product, and we both really like it. I encourage you to try it out. And you guys, you can go to generationyoucan.com/another, use promo code another, all caps, to get a 15% discount on your order. So go order it right now and try it out. Let me know what you think. Thank you, Generation UCAN.
We are back. We're back. We had to delay the second half of this interview because we had a sick kid, and then one of our other kids started crying, and so now we're recording this on Thursday while Lewis is napping, I'm holding Russell sleeping, and Marshall has the iPad with headphones in. We're back.
Hello.
But we did look up his time, and he was lying, or at least he was, like, dreaming in his head. He did not run a 138.
I did eventually.
Okay, but you looked it up, and didn't you run, it was 146?
Yeah.
Something I still like that. Think that sounds fast. I thought you were in the 150s.
No, I ran a 151 the next year.
Okay. So
I'm sure somebody will look me up.
Look him up, 2006. No, you looked it up, I thought.
Yeah, I'm sure creepers will look me up, though, too.
Oh, okay. So that was 2006. I mean, it's so funny looking back at pictures when we raced back then, and like with the things that we wore and how we prepared and just like our whole mentality. So then we decided the summer we were getting married. So we got married in 2008, and we decided it would be a good idea to run a marathon, buy a house, and get married.
Yeah.
So we trained for San Diego Rock and Roll Marathon, which was in June. And we, like, wore Timex watches, and we never tracked our miles. We always ran outside.
We used to run for time.
Yeah. So I remember we would go out, leave downtown where we lived, and just run for, like, 3 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I would be like, maybe we'll run for, like, 3 hours and 5 minutes just in case we didn't get to 20 miles. And looking back, it's like, oh, my gosh, we were definitely running probably a good 22 miles.
That was well over 20 miles for sure.
On some of them, at least. So our goal was to break 4 hours. We were like, we're going to run this marathon, but we don't need to run really fast, but we want to break 4 hours. And then the night before, or at the expo the night before, I got in my head, I wanted to qualify for Boston. So
I didn't even know what the Boston Marathon was at that point.
I think you had like heard of it, right?
I mean, I knew there was a race in Boston, but like...
You didn't know the deal it was.
No, I would have had no clue.
Yeah. What, baby?
Cold.
Okay, put a blanket on. So, we had looked at my mini marathon time, and I ran a 1:37 that year, so we decided, okay, yeah, let's try to run that. But we just had our Timex watches, and we were just kind of like, hey, we're going to run this fast. And then what happened?
What do you mean, what happened? Like in the race?
Yeah.
You beat me. You had a race boyfriend, I remember.
I forgot about my race boyfriend.
Oh, gosh. I mean, what happened in the race is we ran our first marathon, and I had no idea what I was doing. Pretty much, like, the worst experience of my life.
So, I remember, like, mile 17, I think you dropped, like, an energy bar or something, and I ran back and picked it up, and I was feeling great. And we were really slowing down, and I was like, I'm going to have to go. Like, I think I can do this goal, and I'm going to have to leave you.
Yeah.
There was this out and back where there's a band, and I had already looped back.
Because it was the rock and roll marathon.
I had already looped, and you were just going down to the loop. And we, like, saw each other, and you looked at me like, I'm going to die.
Oh, that was, like, a terrible part of the course. It was, like, in some, like, industrial strip.
It was bad.
It was San Diego in, like, early June, so it was, like, wasn't even warm, but it felt warm, and it was super sunny.
And so I was running with that guy, and I felt guilty.
Your boyfriend?
Yeah, I felt guilty. I was like, I left him, and I'm running with this random guy.
Yeah.
And then I waited for you at the finish line, and I was, like, in tears. I knew I'd qualified for Boston by, like, 1 minute, and I was crying, but I didn't have anybody to hug.
Where were my mom and dad?
They were, like, in the stands. So I ended up running 3:39. The standards are 5 minutes slower than.
And you didn't need to, like, beat your time by 2 minutes. You just needed to meet your time.
And then I stood there. I felt like I stood there for like an hour, but you ran like a 3:47, I think.
No, I think it was a 3:49.
Oh, 3:49?
Yeah, because then how many ever years later, I beat it by an hour.
Oh, that's right. We went on with the day, and both of us were like, we're never doing that again. That was awful.
Mm-hmm.
That was like the worst experience of my life. And then I decided I had to run Boston because people try to qualify for that race forever, and you can't not run it if you qualify on your first try. So when I said I was signing up for Boston, you couldn't be outdone. Like, you had to run another marathon, too.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you were going to train for one, I might as well train for one. Signed up for Kentucky Derby.
And you had a miserable race then.
We did that run less, run faster plan, and that didn't work for us at all.
Yeah, it was terrible. But the reason that didn't work is because at least I would, like, run the 3 days and then, like, not do anything else the other 4 days of the week.
Yeah. I don't even remember. I probably didn't do anything.
You're meant to cross-train, though.
I don't remember.
I think it could have worked a lot better for us. But we found out shortly after that you were anemic.
Yeah, I was, yeah.
Because you would, like, go out for runs and you would be labored in your breathing when you would be running, like, 9-minute miles. And nothing was adding up. So you started taking that iron and you got a lot better.
Yeah.
But so for those of you listening who don't know Glenn's marathon progression, is he ran that 349 in San Diego the first year. And we were all kind of like, oh, he's never going to qualify for Boston. Like, running's not his thing. He just runs with me because I like to run and he likes to be in shape. Anyway, which marathon, so we kept running marathons, though. At which marathon were you like, I can get faster?
Oh, gosh. How many marathons have we ran? I've ran, what, like, I don't know.
At least 15 or 16.
15 or 16 marathons. I guess you don't include ultras. So, I would say probably we did those races, Green Bay, St. Louis, and I did Charlevoix with Shane. I think that was all like right in a row.
Yeah, it was like 3 months in a row.
And I ran like a like 3:23 or something like that.
I remember thinking that was so fast.
In St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
And then I turned around and ran like a 3:19, I want to say.
Wait, did you run a 3:23 in St. Louis? Because, oh no, I ran 3:34. Never mind.
Yeah.
I was like, you were more than a minute ahead of me.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think, and then we went to Green Bay with Brooke, ran Green Bay like 6 weeks later. I ran like a 3:19.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I could probably actually get pretty fast if I like start like actually committing more to this. And then it just haven't committed to that ever since.
Yeah, because in Green Bay, I remember I was running with Brooke no matter what because it was our first marathon, and I had just PR'd in St. Louis, and I was like, this is my fun race. I'm just running with Brooke, and you kind of acted like maybe you'd run with us for like a hot second, and then...
Yeah, that didn't really last. I don't really...
You would have hated us
because
we were talking the whole time. But you ran back to greet us as we were coming in. Like, you saw us.
I think so.
We had, like, a mile to go before we went to Lambeau Stadium, and I'm like, what did you
Lambeau, Lambeau Field.
Lambeau Field. Oh, excuse me. And...
You'll have some Packer fans that were offended that you just called it Lambeau Stadium.
Why do I have to call it Lambeau Field?
Because that's not the... Because Lambeau Stadium is not the name of it.
Well, I feel...
That's like calling Wrigley Field Wrigley Stadium.
Really?
Yeah, that's not the name.
But isn't it a football stadium?
Yeah, it's a football stadium, but that's not the name of it.
But, like, Lucas Oil Stadium...
Correct.
I didn't know that there were such rules.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that was a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay. So after Green Bay, though.
What year was that?
That was 2010, I think. Yeah, 2010. You ran the next, it was the next year. We did Piney Point Marathon. We did this tiny little race. There was like 150 people registered. They had no chips. Has anybody listening run that race? Tell me if you have, I want to know, because it was an interesting experience.
Yeah, I think it's put on the Lower Potomac River Runners or something like that.
So there's no chips, so we were like, and Glenn was trying to qualify for Boston. I just got a new job, so I was like, well, I'm just going to see how I feel. Though I should have been more gung-ho, because since it was so small.
Yeah, it was 2010, because you had just gotten a new job. Or no, that would have been 2011. Because I started a new job in fall of 2010. Right.
So, I should have been more gung-ho because I should have realized that the field was so small and that the competition in the females wouldn't have been too hot. Because I got third place and I ran like a 3:24.
Yeah, you got a sweet cash prize too.
Yeah. But you were trying to qualify for Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, was it still 3:10?
It was still 3:10, yes. And I ran a 3:05 on the dot.
Which is hilarious, because then they changed the standard to 3:05.
Right, but they hadn't moved the standard up at that point.
Yeah, and
they had instituted the difference of, like, the qualifying windows.
Uh-huh.
So I was, like, running the second wave or something like that.
It's so weird, because it was a Boston certified course, but it was, like, no chips. It just seems so, and then no timing mats in between, so that
the honor system.
Yeah, the honor system.
Couldn't get away with that today in Twitter.
Yeah, people would be like calling people out.
I earned that 3:05. I thought it was hard.
The course was kind of hard. There were some hills on that
course. It had rolling hills.
Yeah. Oh, I had a race boyfriend in that race too.
You did, yeah.
An older guy. Yeah. What was his name?
I don't know. He wore a red shirt.
He wore. I have a great picture with him, and he.
We stayed at that creepy Econo Lodge.
Yeah,
the creepy
girl that was the receptionist.
She was totes creepy.
Yeah, I picked that guy up at like mile 10, and he was like, "What are you trying to run?" And I told him my PR, what I was trying to do, and he'd run like a million marathons, and just decided he was gonna let me run to my PR. And then he left me with, like, 300 meters to go because he was like, I think that guy looks like he's in my age group. I'm going to see if I can catch him.
What a scrub.
If you're listening, though, I think his name was Steve.
I've got no idea.
He wasn't a scrub. He was so nice. He helped me so much.
I know, but that was a scrubby move.
It was. Because I remember at, like, mile 22, I was like, Steve, I'm going to have to stop talking. And you can just keep talking to me. I'm actually in a lot of pain right now.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, and then we turned around and drove home. Or I drove home.
Yeah, 12 hours.
12 hours from Southern Maryland.
I was about to say that's the second time you've done that, but the Shamrock
Marathon. The second
marathon,
time I didn't race.
You didn't run a marathon. I ran a marathon. Yeah. So, mini marathons and ultras later, Glenn has a marathon PR 2:49, mm-hmm. which is insane to me. He first broke 3 hours at the Birmingham Marathon, Mercedes Marathon in Birmingham.
In Birmingham, yeah.
And he ran a 2:56.
Yeah.
And then went on to run 2:54, 2:52, and he ran 2:49 at Monumental last year, the year before.
It was 2014.
What? How do you do that? I mean, I feel like people just think, oh, I'm never going to be that fast, or this is just how I run. Like, how did you go from being 3:49 to 2:49 is insane. Changed.
I mean, it was over the course of almost 10 years, right?
Was it that long?
We ran our first marathon in 2008.
It's 2016 right now.
So it's 8 years, whatever.
7 years.
So, yeah, I don't know.
Okay.
But I mean, if you think about it, I didn't really start, I guess I wouldn't say I would start running competitively.
Yeah.
With myself. Until probably that like third or fourth marathon, and it's just, you don't know what you don't know, I guess, on some level. That on some level, I didn't know how to run hard, or I didn't know how to like be willing to put up with things, or say, hey, you've got to just keep working at it and keep working at it. I think people want to see like an instant result, or if it doesn't happen instantly in anything in life, really, that you've got to put the work in, and that it just slowly happened over time organically, I guess.
Well, you started running a lot higher mileage, too.
I did start putting in a lot higher mileage. But that also was just a slow progression.
Right.
Where, like, I wouldn't have been able to handle the mileage that I was putting in 2014. If I tried to do that in 2010, I'd have hurt myself.
Because back then, we were probably running, like, 30 miles a week or something.
Oh, yeah. Something like that. 30, 40 miles a week.
Marshall, stop. Yeah, because we used to do midweek long runs of like 8 to 10 miles. I do think that first marathon we did 10 mile midweek long runs.
Probably, yeah. I don't. You did all the training design for that. I don't even remember.
But when you were training for the 2:49 and even the 2:52, you were doing like 15 mile midweek long
runs. I do a lot of 15 mile a week. Yeah.
Like get up on Wednesday morning at like 4 and run 15 miles before work.
Yeah. Yeah, I peaked at, I think I had, I would average like 80 to 85 miles a week for that Monumental Marathon 2014.
Do you like training for marathons or ultras better?
I mean, they're both kind of the same.
Yeah.
Really, the training's similar.
Do you do a lot less speed work for ultras?
I would be less concerned about doing speed sessions for an ultra marathon, but I still did them. Yeah.
Did you mostly just throw them in for fun though, just to like change things up?
Yeah. I mean, I typically, so back when for Mohican, and then for Kettle Moraine, it was a similar schedule where I would have a stress session and a long run. And I guess I was more lax with making sure I got my stress session in with my ultra stuff.
Like it wasn't a big deal if you missed it.
Right.
Because you're not trying to run 6:30 miles for 26 miles.
Right, but I'm still trying to get the benefits of that increased aerobic strength and muscular endurance through doing that workout. But
so you did Mohican. So Glenn ran his first 50 miler. You did a 50K first at Dances with Dirt.
Mm-hmm.
And then you did Mohican 50 miler.
Yes.
That was the summer of 2014.
It was June of 2014.
Yep, because I was newly, secretly pregnant with Lewis.
Yes.
And I remember I picked up two people to, like, spectate with, thankfully, the morning of the race.
Yeah.
Some random girl and some random guy. She was watching her husband, and he was watching one of his friends. And I, like, tagged along with them all day. Typical me, like, someone to do the work for me, so I didn't have to figure out like where to go on the course to find you.
The TV off.
Yeah, Like, I never would have found you on that course if I wouldn't have had those people with me. But anyway, so you did that. You did Mohican the summer of 2013. And then
2014.
And then that December, you did the 50-miler.
I did Jackson County 50-50 in December of 2014, right before Lewis was born, yeah.
Which was a really small race, but you got second place.
I did, yeah.
And then you did Kettle Moraine 100K, so that was 62 miles?
It was like 62 miles, yeah, around there.
The summer of 2015.
Yes.
I remember you saying after Kettle Moraine, like, you didn't realize how big of a difference that 50 to 63 miles was going to be. Like that last 13 miles, like how much harder it was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, I was physically exhausted at mile 50. I think, though, on some level, I was already anemic at that point.
Yeah.
But I was in denial, so maybe that's why I was...
We didn't know you were anemic.
Extra hard, but yeah, at mile 50, I'm like, all right, I'm done running for the day now, but I had another, like...
marathon?
2 hours of running in the woods to do.
Yeah.
I was able to, yeah, it was a lot different. So I couldn't even imagine then going from 100K to 100 mile. That's just...
I bet if you weren't... So Glenn found out he was anemic again shortly after he ran Kettle Moraine, summer of 2015. And he took like a solid, almost year away from running fast and competitively and was ironed back up and got healthy and...
Yeah, Dr. Carey told me when I saw him, he didn't know how I was physically standing.
Do you know your numbers?
I remember the one number, I think, what is it, your ferritin, I think? It was like, Dr. Carey, so a normal range, I think, is like 10 to 12 for like a sedentary adult. And endurance athletes, Dr. Carey likes to see a ferritin level around like 50. Mine was 3.
Insane.
Yeah.
You definitely were low in iron then during Kettle Moraine.
Yeah, when I look back on it, yeah. I mean, I never should have done Jackson County 50 in December.
Yeah.
I never gave myself recovery period, and I just wore myself down.
Yeah, because you did Mohican in June, and then you ran the 249 Monumental in November.
Yeah.
And then December, you did another 50-miler.
Yeah.
You kind of just banked on your 249 fitness. If you would have just like hung up the towel and been like, that 249 was enough for 2015.
Yeah, I should have shut it down until like the spring.
Yeah.
But I didn't. I just kept grinding. I kept running like 80 miles a week.
It's hard though because I feel like your mindset is like, oh, my fitness is there. I'm in great shape. I'll just run another 50.
Yeah.
But it proves that that's not always the best option.
Yeah.
And people do that and then they get injured.
And life got more complicated. We had another child.
So it was a naturally good time for you to kind of like step back and chill.
Yeah, yeah.
Though that was supposed to be the summer, the year of my marathon.
That was.
I was like, I sacrificed all of 2014 for you to do all your races. And I traveled around and toted Marshall around the Mohican course.
Yeah.
And, not Mohican, Kettle Moraine. Then I got injured. So
yeah.
That was terrible.
Sorry about your foot.
What's your best advice to someone going from marathon runner to ultra runner?
Okay, so my best advice for...
Like, what would you say to me if I was like, what's your best advice to me? I'm going to run a 50-miler this year.
A 50-miler, so I would say...
Or whatever.
Right, ultra. So I would say build up... So any ultra marathon, I would say build up to it.
I
think people have an allure for like the 100 or whatever. Don't have a desire right now to do 100. I'm sure that'll change in the future. But to build up to it and to know the course and practice on the course. Like, you can get away, I think, with not really knowing a marathon course very well.
Mommy, wanna come sit on the couch?
Okay, come sit. Come on.
You can get away with that in a road marathon. It's not going to have, like, too crazy of elevation profile, typically, that you could probably get by with that. But if you don't... Just for the terrain that you're going to be on, whether that be technical trail or extremely steep trail, you'll find yourself in a world of hurt and probably with a broken ankle. So,
well, and most ultras are trails, obviously.
Yeah, the vast majority of them are going to be trail running.
So different,
yeah.
Running on trails. How much trail training did you do in preparation for the...
So for Mohican, we don't have the greatest, I guess, hill terrain here. I spent a lot of time at Crown Hill, running up and down Crown Hill, the highest point in Marion County.
Which is a really pretty place to run.
Yeah, yeah. And then
haven't
I would,
done that.
I would try to get, I mean, at that point, we still only had one child, so it was, he was in a sweet age spot, so it was easy for us. We would go to Bloomington fairly often, and I spent a lot of time in Morgan, Monroe, and Brown County running in hills. Cause
you were committed to getting, like, weekend runs up in trails.
Yeah, I would run at least once a week long run on a trail. So if that means going over to the west side of Eagle Creek or down to Monroe County, I was in just to be prepared for it.
Which is a huge part to why you were so successful. I mean, you, so Mohican, you were like sixth place?
That sounds right.
Which ultra running isn't like super, super competitive, but I mean, you're running pretty fast for 50 miles to get sixth place.
Yeah, I think that you, I mean, not to like pat myself on the back. But I just patted myself on the back. The year I ran it, I think the guys that took first, second, and third broke the previous course record.
And the one guy got lost, and he still broke the record. He was so fast.
Yeah. I mean, every year is different.
So,
I mean, I think if I took my time from that into a prior year, I would have took second or third. Not that matters, but...
I
got a gift card to somewhere that I never used.
Yeah. At least you didn't call the store... the place in that town and say, can I redeem this gift card online?
I should have.
That's what people do at the running store that I work for. They'll win a gift card at a race and they live like 5 states away and they want us to like send them something. No, you win a gift card from a local store at that race. You got to go to that store while you're still in town and use the gift card. Word to the wise, people. That makes sense. Word to the wise. Okay, good. So supposedly this 2017 is the year I'm going to run fast.
I hope so.
I hope so too. But do you have anything that you want to?
No, I'm sure I'll run like monument. So I'll pace Carmel, the 315 group in the spring. But no, I don't have any specific plans. I kind of am thinking about doing, Twin Cities in October.
Oh.
We've talked about this before.
Well, I have a lot that goes on in my
mind. You just don't pay attention. It's fine. But no, I don't have any specific plans. I basically, at this point, almost kind of run to keep my sanity.
Yes.
with three active children and a full-time job, I just...
I mean, who doesn't have a full-time job?
Right. No, I know. But I think...
You do a lot, though.
I think there's a mentality of people, or at least, I don't know if it's... how it is with the internet these days, that people feel like they always have to be in like the best shape ever and always trying to PR. And you know, that if I'm honest with myself, it's probably not the best time to do that in my life right now. Probably wait like a couple years.
Right.
I still got plenty of PR years left. I'm only 33.
Totally.
So wait till I'm like 37,
right.
38. You know, I could still run a PR then.
I think too, like, so our kids are 4, 2, and 8 weeks. Even once Russell, our youngest, is like sleeping through the night and just like on more of a routine, and we can know how to handle 3 kids a little bit better. Even in a year from now, it'll be easier to deal with. I have a dream of me running a sub-3 marathon and you running it with me, but I can't.
There's no dream. It's going to happen.
Aw. See, this is why Glenn is so good for me. Sometimes he plants these things in my head, and I don't know if he's like doing it to like stroke my ego to make me believe I can do it, or if he wholeheartedly believes I can do it.
I wholeheartedly believe it, and I'll tell you, this isn't just for you, this is anybody. If you don't believe in yourself and the goal that you state, you're never going to reach that goal.
I know.
Ever.
It just seems so fast. To be completely honest, sub-3 is like, that's faster pace per mile than I've even ran a half marathon. I know I've been in shape. Run a half marathon faster than that, but I never executed that. And so to me, that just seems so daunting. You know?
Yeah, I mean, whatever. I never thought I'd run a 2:49 marathon when I started running marathons.
Right. I remember. I was like, he's the scrub. I'm always going to be faster than him.
Me and my short legs got it done.
Yeah. Our legs are like the same length and you're 6 foot.
Yeah, it's super annoying.
But you can't make that an excuse.
No.
Hey, okay, let's get to some fun stuff. I emailed you, or did I text you?
You texted me.
Okay, so for those of you listening, and if you're a regular listener, if you follow Glenn or myself on Twitter, you can find Glenn on Twitter at ghyde83. He is a huge Daddy, Pearl Jam fan.
Do you give me a Mopin Bruce sandwich?
Yeah, we got like 10 minutes and we'll get it for you, okay?
You get it.
Okay, sit down. 10 minutes, buddy.
You have sandwich left over there still.
Okay, so Glenn's probably the biggest. I don't know of anybody that's a bigger Pearl Jam fan.
I know bigger Pearl Jam fans.
Who?
I would say Mike Cooper is a bigger Pearl Jam fan than me. Yeah.
So to put it into perspective, I actually really like Pearl Jam now too. They never would have been a band that I gave interest in or noticed. But I've been to, I think, 6 Pearl Jam concerts now.
Oh gosh, at least. Yeah, probably.
Yeah, and I pretty much know the Pearl Jam thing. Like, I know what groupies are, the 10 Club geeks, like Glenn, who follow them around, and as soon as they go on tour, it's this huge deal.
I tend to be on the younger age of the Pearl Jam fanatic. I mean, the band's been around for 25 years, so I would have been 8 years old. I didn't really get into the band until I was, 17 or something like that. So, I mean, I definitely skew to the younger end of the 10 Club member.
So here's my question. What are your top 5 favorite Pearl Jam songs?
See, this is hard.
I know it's hard.
I mean, I can't just come up with 5 songs. It's very dependent on, what you're going for. So I thought about this. I actually did think about it yesterday.
Yeah.
I guess I'll give you the top 5 songs that I would want to hear in a concert.
Perfect.
So I think, because you'll get, hipster jackasses that, give you some obscure random song that, you don't really like that song. You just want to,
be cool.
You just want to be cool and say that, Dirty Frank's your favorite song.
Well, wait, what was the song at Wrigley this summer that came on and the guy in front of us, lost his mind?
Oh, that's a great song. Immortality came on.
And I hated it.
Oh, that song's amazing.
Yeah.
I think that was the first time I ever heard that song live.
Really?
Yeah.
Out of, 12 concerts?
I've been to more concerts than that. I think that was probably the first time I heard Immortality.
Okay, yeah,
he lost it.
Okay, yeah, that guy, I was like, oh my gosh, I know exactly what your type is. Calm down. There's a type at every Pearl, because we always get 10 Club tickets, so we're sitting with other 10 Club people.
All the other losers.
Yeah, so I'm the wife of the 10 Club fanatic, and I know the drill. I know when this song comes on, what everybody's going to do. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
What song is that?
Evolution.
Yeah, I know all the things. Yeah. All the people do.
You do.
Okay, so what are your top 5?
Oh, God. So this is in no particular order. I guess the 5 songs that I would want to hear at any concert I went to, 1 would be Corduroy.
Okay.
2 would be Better Man.
Oh, yes. That's
an amazing song. It's a reason it's so popular. It's a great song.
Yeah, that's by far one of my favorite songs. It's everybody's. But
yeah. Release is another one that I would love to hear at every single concert. Yellow Ledbetter is another amazing song to hear at any concert. And then probably Got ID or Hard to Imagine.
See, those are hard. How does Hard to Imagine go?
I'm not going to sing it for you.
Hard to Imagine.
You heard it in Washington, D.C. when you were hungover.
And I fell asleep.
How many Pearl Jam concerts have you fallen asleep at?
1. That's the only one.
No, you fell asleep in Alpine. Pearl Jam 20.
Did I fall asleep?
Yeah.
That was extenuating.
There were extenuating circumstances.
I was pregnant and
you were Debbie Downing.
Yeah, and then I had a miscarriage, so that was a very extenuating.
That's true.
That one doesn't count.
That's true.
Not that I knew I was going to have a miscarriage, but that happened the next day, and I was feeling sick. So that one definitely doesn't count. Alpine Valley, they started with Release, didn't they?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I remember that was the first time I ever heard that song, and I was like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And that was a cool place to watch the show,
yeah,
too.
That was, so Alpine Valley, so I saw them at Alpine Valley I was in college, when did we graduate college? 2006.
Six.
This would have been, the summer of 2004, I think.
Yeah.
I saw them at Alpine Valley, it was great.
So, recap the 5 real fast.
I kind of want to change some of them sometimes, but, see, that's the problem. You can't just say, 5 songs. So then you could say, you want to hear Off He Goes and Hail Hail and Sometimes.
Off He Goes is good. Hail Hail, no.
Oh, yeah, Hail Hail's good. Not For You's good. Daughter with the It's Okay tag's amazing. It has to be It's Okay, though. So what I listed was Corduroy, Better Man, Release, Yellow Ledbetter, which we played at our wedding as the final song, and probably Hard to Imagine.
Okay, And Yellow Ledbetter Glenn also once played at his funeral.
Yes. I'm going to troll everybody at my funeral, have all these things that nobody gets except me, and I'm just going to laugh at all of you.
You better hope you don't die instantaneously, and it's like a longer time that you can plan so that you can make sure that happens.
Well, I've told you.
I know. Is that the only thing, though?
As of right now, yeah. I'll start to write things down.
Okay. I mean, I for sure know that.
Much like jokes that I think are funny, people would be like, this dude's such a weirdo.
This is not funny at all. can I do my top five Pearl Jam songs?
Yes, I'd love to hear them.
Okay. This can be at a concert or just in general, and you might have to correct me. Like, you might think
you're probably going to name a cover, I bet.
No, okay. I know that Rockin' in the Free World is a cover, okay?
Who's it by?
Keep on rockin' in the free world. The Boss? No. Give me a hint. Neil Young.
There you go.
Neil Young. I knew that. I didn't know that. Okay. Better Man for sure.
Yeah.
It's always good, no matter what. Better Man, Smile.
Yeah, Smile's awesome.
Well, I really like Sirens right now.
Yeah, Sirens is good.
That might be Come and Go, but Sirens. I used to think Against the Waves.
Amongst the Waves?
Amongst the Waves. That used to be my top, but
yeah.
I don't know if it still is. The Smile, Betterman, Sirens, we'll say Amongst the Waves. Oh, I mean, Yellow Ledbetter.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like.
You used to really like Marker in the Sand.
Marker in the Sand. Oh, yeah, that was at Lollapalooza.
Yeah.
That I started liking that song. Really like Smile. It might be one of my favorites. What are your top five bands of all time?
Top five bands?
Yes.
So I'll tell you the bands that I'm into right now.
Okay.
So, well, Pearl Jam's always going to be in there.
Of course.
So I really like, well, so I guess some of my all-time favorite bands, My Morning Jacket probably stays in my top five all the time.
Yeah.
They're amazing musicians. And then kind of more current of the moment would be Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah.
Band, I've really been digging on the band a lot.
Oh, yeah, we listen to the band, like, Pandora every day.
The band a lot lately. And then probably the last, I guess, band that I've been listening to. Or no, not even band. Probably, if I would say, I would take five things with me that I would probably take, like, Outkast with me.
So Outkast, Pearl Jam, the band, My Morning Jacket, and Sturgill Simpson.
Yeah.
Like, if you were stranded on an island, that's all you could listen to for the rest of your life. That would be the
I think that I'd be happy with those.
You added an Outkast for some, like, hip-hop variation.
Well, I really like Outkast.
Yeah. You were really into Outkast when we first started dating.
Yeah.
When we first started dating, a big thing at the Village Deli was the music in the kitchen was, like, very important. Like, all the kitchen guys were really into good music being played in the kitchen. And you had John Legend playing back there one day, and I was like, who is this? And the next time I came into work, you had burnt me the CD. That's when we knew it was love. That's before we started dating, though.
It probably was, yeah.
You, like, knew I took an interest in the song, and then you, like, the CD. You were like, here's this guy.
Just planting seeds, laying it down.
It's interesting.
Playing the long game.
Yeah, it's interesting looking back on that, because we're so into music, both of us, that you were, like, you're already pushing your music, your musicality, is that a word?
It is now.
You were already pushing your musicality on me, like... I didn't realize at the time how into it you were, though. That was good. And I still like John Legend, though. We don't listen to him anymore.
No, yeah. I'm not,
that I album. What was that album?
Oh, I don't remember the name of it, but yeah.
But it was like his first, like,
was, like,
big album.
Yeah, this is the first. This
it was really
album.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really good.
And then you burnt me another CD. That's how old we are. We were burning CDs. It had a lot of Outkast on it. And that's when I really started getting into that. So we made sure at our wedding to play a lot of Outkast,
mm-hmm.
too.
We had the wedding party walk into it.
Oh, yeah. I Like the Way You Move.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. What's the most annoying thing to do? What's most annoying about me?
Oh, I wouldn't say it's annoying. The thing that I get frustrated the most with is your lack of movie watching ability.
Oh, when you said you knew what you were going to say
yeah.
the other day, that's what it was?
Yeah. Drives me crazy.
Because I like to do other
You've
things.
Been, well, no, well, that, you don't pay attention, and basically you basically are unwilling to watch probably 60% of films because they may give you anxiety or fear.
Oh.
I can't watch that. It's scary.
Oh, true.
I don't want, no, I can't watch that.
True.
I can't watch that.
I'll give you that.
Yeah.
For sure. You're going to have to find.
Or you'll fall asleep while we watch it.
That shouldn't make you mad, though. Then I'm not talking about
it. I'm
going to
enjoy it with you.
Oh,
though.
That's sweet.
I've decided I'm gonna start going to movies by myself.
Well, and how do I feel about going to the movies?
You hate going to the movies because you think that like a gunman's gonna come in and kill everybody.
It makes me really nervous.
Yeah.
Every time, like when I took Marshall to see Trolls the other day, I had a game plan. Like I was sitting in the very, very back, and he was sitting on the steps because he couldn't sit still. And I was thinking, okay, if a gunman comes in, I'm just gonna have to like throw my body on top of Marshall and just like lay on the ground and nothing hits us.
People don't think like.
Some people do. I talked to your sister about it the other day, and she was...
Yeah, you guys were, like, feeding off each other. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh. Fear, anxiety.
What was the movie we were seeing, though, and it was, like, shortly after there were some movie theater shootings?
Oh,
and it was kind of a creepy movie.
Argo. We went to Argo.
Yeah, and I remember sitting there like, oh, my gosh, this is creepy...
It was after that dude went and, like, stabbed those people.
In the movie theater.
At the Amy Schumer movie.
Yes. Was it? No, that was after this.
Oh, I don't know.
That was after Argo.
No, I don't know.
Anyway, it was after some tragedy, and I was thinking, the whole time I was, like, so nervous. You know, I actually felt like that at the Pearl Jam concert at Wrigley this summer, too. Because we were sitting on the outside row, and I just kept thinking, someone could just, like, come to this back here and just shoot us up. And I'm in the corner, so I'm going to be the first one to go down.
I'd have covered you.
I was pregnant, too. No, you would have been too into your dorky songs.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. On some level, bad stuff's going to happen. You can't go around waiting for it to happen.
This is true. Kind of like how Lewis was sick on Tuesday, and I've been paranoid all week that we're all going to get the stomach.
Yeah, I got thrown up on like 3 times.
And you're not scared?
No.
So whenever you're on your phone, and I get annoyed, like, get off Twitter, like you're on your phone, and you're like, I'm reading an article. What are your favorite places to go to? Like, where are you usually reading these articles from?
Oh, I usually get them from Twitter, and then I click through to stuff, or I'm on Flipboard a lot.
Flipboard? What's Flipboard?
It's like a news aggregator.
Okay. What's your favorite app?
Twitter,
of course. What is your favorite podcast to listen to?
For a long time, I really liked This American Life, but I kind of gotten bored with that.
Why?
I don't know. So I kind of just stopped listening to podcasts.
Why?
For a while. I don't know. But I'm starting to get back into them. So, I really like yours.
At the beginning of this episode, we heard you admit you only listen to like 6.
Yeah, okay, so I'll open up my phone, so,
See, but if I open up my phone and you see the list of podcasts, that is not an accurate description of my favorite podcast, because I, like, try some out, and then I don't know how to get
rid of them. No, right, no, I know. The edit button, and then you hit delete.
Oh, can you do that for me?
Yeah. So I really enjoyed, the podcast Embedded.
Okay.
With Kelly McEvers.
Okay.
She's a host of All Things Considered on NPR. That was really good. They should be coming back soon. I'm just now listening to Crime Town, which is good. I started My Favorite Murder with these two girls. I didn't, and a bunch of people recommended it, but I couldn't really get into it. I would kind of probably like their banter and stuff. But
what's it called?
You wouldn't like the concept of the show.
Okay.
I
am so judgmental of podcasts, and people probably judge me all the time how I host this one, but I think because I host, I'm, like, very critical.
I think you would like how they like, talk back and forth. It's, like, two chicks, like, talking
okay,
about...
Okay, I like that.
Right.
But and why do you like it? Because I would
I didn't like it.
Okay, got it.
I wanted to like it because it discusses, like, dark things, and I kind of like dark and scary things, but I couldn't get into it. I really enjoyed In the Dark, Jana recommended that to us, or to me. That was really good. And then I listened to Decoding Westworld recently. That's about it, probably. Oh, and I listened to Politics Inside Out from Kai Ryssdal.
So, let me see here. I think that you should try The Human Race that Runner's World does. It's This American Life-ish.
Right, yeah.
This is what I have in my podcasts. The Human Race, Freakonomics Radio, The Robcast, Robin Roberts, Everybody's Got Something, The Podcast with Knox and Jamie, You Made It Weird with Pete Holmes, She Podcasts, which is specific to women who podcast, Girl Boss Radio, I'll Have Another with Lindsay Hine, and The Happy Hour with Jamie Ivey. Those are all my subscribed to shows. Then I have, these are the ones that I'm not subscribed to that I've recently given a shot that I'm not willing to subscribe to yet, or I don't think I will. 10% Happier with Dan Harris, Happier with Gretchen Rubin, Real Talk Radio with Nicole Antoinette, Dear Sugar, Inspired to Action, The West Wing Weekly, when I was super into the West Wing, you know, back in the day when I used to be up in the middle of the night with Russ.
Uh-huh.
Before you took
that
over.
That ship long has long since sailed.
You took over that duty. And then the God-Centered Mom podcast, which I should subscribe to that. I like that one.
I've taken over watching TV shows. Well, not anymore. He sleeps now, but I was watching TV shows in the middle of the night.
Glenn is seriously super dad with this middle of the night thing. I feel like I don't breastfeed, so we don't have that issue. But where it's like only the mom can feed anyway. But I just feel like, a lot of moms feel like, oh, I should be the one getting up. It's the mom's job.
Kind of is.
You really think so? Like it's 50-50 if I can't breastfeed.
I don't care at all.
Every once in a while, I'm like, should I feel guilty that like he's doing this at night?
Probably.
Stop. But every single night I go to bed in Glenn and I say, hit me if you need me. Are you sure you don't want to go to bed? And you always say, no, we're fine. Don't worry about it. You never complain. But sometimes I feel this like hint of guilt. Like, should I feel more motherly? Like, should I feel like I should be the one doing it? And I don't feel that way, though.
Do you love your child?
maybe people are going to get your humor.
Hopefully people can tell that I'm joking.
Isn't that weird, though? Like, even when Lewis was sick on Tuesday night, and you were the one that he was laying with. I mean, I was holding Russell, but I was like...
I would have had to pay you like $1,000 to get you to touch that vomit-filled bed.
It was so gross.
You would have just burned the room and been like, buy new stuff.
I would have just been like, let's move.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, gosh. Man, we're terrible. What's your biggest pet peeve in general that people do that you can't stand?
Oh, I don't know if I have any pet peeves. I think...
I hate the word pet peeve, but I didn't know how else to ask.
So that's your pet peeve? I'm probably guilty of it on some level, but the now in 2016, almost 2017, seeing everybody's reaction to every little minute-by-minute detail of things that go on that probably in the end don't really matter,
yeah.
But everybody freaks out about, I could do without that. I could probably just get off of Twitter and not have to worry about it. But I like Twitter.
That's heightened because of social media.
Twitter's so much fun.
It's fun. I feel like we got on though right when it got big. And then anybody that's trying to get on now doesn't get it and they're never going to get on. It's like peaked.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're definitely like a declining business. But
will we always be on?
I don't know. I think it's great. I can just like... Spit some hot takes and opinions about things, and then, like, I'm done with it, and it's gone. And, like, somebody will reply, like, 7 hours later, I'm like, oh, yeah, I did say that.
And some people get offended, and they don't realize that you're half-joking.
That's on them if they can't handle it.
So, a couple people, I had in my notebook, I don't know where it's at, do you know where it's at?
Notebook.
I'll just have to do it based on memory. Tuesday night before we got stopped, I had a couple Twitter people that...
Just go to your Twitter.
It's like way down in my notifications.
Oh,
I can't possibly scroll through all that. That's too much work. A couple people wanted to know, though...
I'll find it in like 12 seconds.
Okay, good. That's why I married you, because you can find things for me. a couple people wanted to know why you hate the Colts so much.
I don't really care for the Colts. So I'm a Bears fan. I grew up in Northwest Indiana.
Okay.
So... Naturally, I don't really care for the Colts, but I live in Indianapolis, so the Colts are all that I see and hear about, and it's really kind of making fun of more of like the Colts fan, you know?
The Colts.
Hey, this is Ray from the South Sides. You know, we wouldn't be having this problem if we had Peyton there still. Where's Peyton? We need Peyton there. I don't really care, to be honest, but it's
You just
fun.
Like to make fun
it's
of
It's fun
people.
To make fun of
You're
them,
mean.
Yeah.
That's basically what it boils
kind
down
of,
to.
Kind of.
The Colts.
The Colts, yeah.
Are our kids allowed to wear Colts gear?
No.
What happens when they're in, like, third grade and all their friends are big Colts fans and they want to be Colts fans?
I'll make fun of them.
So, what if they're, like, it's their dream to go to a Colts game? You take them?
Yeah, we'll go to a game, but I'm not going to, like...
Wear a Bears jersey to the game?
Are we playing the Bears?
No.
I wouldn't...
I'm not a jersey guy.
I'm not a jersey guy, right?
I make fun of people who wear jerseys.
I mean, think about it. You're an adult... Dressing up to support other professionals doing their job.
You're, like, offending a lot of people right now.
That's fine. Got to support the team. I'm into things that I get made fun of all the time.
There was a point where I think I had requested some sort of Bears apparel, and you never got it for me.
probably tried at some point.
You probably bought me an extra small, and I was like, I'm not an extra small. Don't buy me extra smalls.
Yeah.
Like my Christmas coat. Glenn got me a coat for Christmas, and he bought me an extra small.
That's the sizing chart fit. Yes. Maybe I'm trying to send a message.
I have never been an extra small. I'm a standard small all across the board.
Except for that Anthropology dress was like a double negative zero.
I don't understand Anthropology. How does anybody that's like really tiny fit their clothes? Because I am definitely not a double zero. That made no sense.
I don't know. Maybe they do it to make people feel good about themselves.
I mean, they definitely have that bohemian, like falling off of you, clothes that are too big look going on. But if I would have bought a size up from that, it wouldn't have fit me. So I don't understand. Maybe it was Miss Mark. So John Maley wanted to know about the coats, but do you really chop wood? I don't get that.
That's a make fun of Chuck Pagano. He's the coach of the Colts.
Okay.
He basically speaks in like the biggest cliches of all time.
Pagano does?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pagano's, you know, you gotta chop wood, you know, the tree will fall, but they suck, so.
He also wants to know how you really feel about the deficit spending.
Oh, that ship has long since sailed. Big government is here to stay, and I'm sad.
Your dad wants to know why you married a diva.
Because I love her.
Aww.
Can you read it down with the pod?
Almost done, I swear, baby. We're almost done. But do you really think I'm a diva?
No.
What about me is diva-ish?
You're kind of a baby about stuff.
Okay, that's a better way to put it, yeah. I think. What about me is diva-ish, and what about me is not diva-ish?
I don't think you're diva-ish. You're not very demanding. You're very particular about things.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't bother me.
I don't have, like, expensive taste and like, things like that.
No. I enjoy, I guess I show my love through action, so
that is true.
I like to do things for you.
That is your love language, for yeah. Sure. That
it's
works.
Definitely not touching.
That
don't touch me.
That works out well for me, for sure. What's the quickest way to learn ways of Excel Macro Master?
Oh, I could talk about Excel all day long. Practice at it. Shout out to Barb Miller and K201 that started my love of Excel and Microsoft Access.
I can't tell you guys how many Excel spreadsheets I've put together and I've sent to Glenn and just been like, can you fix this? Can you make this pretty so that it looks nice?
Don't be afraid to use a database. Don't have a giant Excel file.
When I worked for Back of My Feet, our executive director quit and I was like, I wasn't interim, but like I was doing the executive director work as I was the communications person. And I had to like present budget stuff to the board. And I remember being like, make this look pretty so I can act like I did it.
Yeah.
And you gave me this, like, beautiful sheet with all these different colors, and I felt really, like, I felt like I was really impressive, and nobody, like, thought twice about it.
No.
But I thought twice.
Some of the best Excel advice I ever got was make sure your spreadsheet is always formatted to be printed.
Oh, yeah.
And a lot of people don't do that.
Yeah, totally. Adam Rim wants to know if he should set up a GoFundMe page and quit his job to better train for his next marathon.
Absolutely.
Like, what? I we can't even talk about that.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me started.
On the GoFundMes.
That's basically, people basically commit fraud.
Yeah. And I want to clarify GoFundMe. I say that, and I started a Patreon page recently for this podcast.
That's completely different.
Yeah. I want you, can you say the difference between of the two?
What the difference between a GoFundMe is and a Patreon page?
Yeah.
So I guess in my mind, so I'll see GoFundMe pages like, hey, it's always been my dream to compete in Ironman Kona. Can you please give me $5,000
right.
So I can buy a plane ticket and go to Ironman Kona? Where you're running, you're essentially generating hours of content of people for free via the podcast. And similar, I guess, I think of it similar to like public radio.
Yeah.
Which I pirate still. I still don't donate.
And now I'm going to be a supporter of you donating since you listen.
I know. I'll be shamed by people that I could get a tote bag, but I don't.
But now that your wife is putting.
I freeload.
Now that your wife is putting together something like this, are you getting more why you should?
Right. So, like, this stuff's not free. Like, you're spending hours upon hours editing it and putting it together to where if somebody really enjoys the content you provide that they want to be a supporter of the show, that's. How they pledge a donate. It's not a donation, but they pledge money to support the show.
Yeah, it's totally different from GoFundMe. Real quick, too. I missed it. Oh, shoot. It's all gone. No, I know what it is, though. Dave Murphy wants to know what your opinions are on the people that got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame this year.
It's a great year. Pearl Jam's going to be in there.
Pearl Jam, Tupac.
Tupac, I think.
Journey.
Journey and what was it? ELO, I think, or was it Yes?
What's ELO?
It's a band.
What's the best, most recent book you've read?
I can tell you the last book I finished.
Tell me.
The Hunger Games trilogy.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That was the last books that I finished.
You got me into the Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah.
People are going to think that's funny that you read the Hunger Games.
Those are sweet books.
Yeah, they were good. Top 5 TV shows of all time.
I'll give you my favorite TV shows.
Yes.
In no particular order.
Okay.
Mad Men.
Yeah.
Breaking Bad. Wire. Sopranos. I don't have a fifth, I guess.
Really? No fifth? What about The West Wing?
I really liked The West Wing, yeah. I wouldn't put it into the top 5, but those would be my favorite 4.
Sopranos. I knew you were going to say Sopranos. What's your favorite running shoe to run in?
My favorite running shoe to run in? I used to really like the Wave Sayonara.
Yeah.
The Mizuno, and I really enjy the Saucony Kinvara.
You have, like, the most perfect feet.
I can run in pretty much anything.
You totally can. Tupac or Biggie?
Tupac.
Bruce Springsteen or John Mellencamp?
John Mellencamp.
Ooh, nice.
I'm from Indiana.
Beach or ocean?
I mean, Bruce Springsteen is like a way better artist.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you gotta go.
I listen to more Cougar for sure.
Skiing or scuba diving? If you had to choose.
Scuba diving.
Like water skiing?
Snow skiing.
Oh no, scuba diving.
We're not like rich enough to be skiers.
Both of those are rich man activities.
Yeah, we can't play those games. Speaking of that, I'm so glad you're not a golfer. What's the hardest thing about having 3 kids so far? Dealing with me.
No. I don't know what the hardest thing is. I guess the hardest thing was like settling into a routine of some kind.
But like we don't even have a routine yet.
I mean, we kind of do on some level. I don't know. Everybody's always upset and it's just, you're hectic and you just got to roll with it.
Yeah. Will you come back on the podcast? But we have a kid that just woke up from a nap that's crying now in Marshall's. Marshall, you've done a really good job this segment. I swear you have. So we're going to have to wrap up. But will you come back on and I can give you, this was kind of just like a general thing, but I can give you more specific running questions and things like that.
Yeah, I can talk about running all day.
Steve Roach wanted to know about your running and training and diet.
I don't have much of a diet.
No, you just eat.
I pretty much eat what I want. I try to eat healthy, a lot of vegetables.
We eat healthy.
Everything in moderation.
Yeah, but we don't restrict anything.
I don't restrict anything.
Except for me.
I guess I don't eat a lot of dessert.
Because you choose beer over dessert.
Right, yeah. I drink more alcohol now.
All right, we're signing off. Marshall, can you say, we're signing off. Marshall, can you say bye?
Bye, you give me
up. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you, Glenn. If you listen to this episode, you'll hear me thanking you. Thank you, Glenn, for coming on the show and being my guest. Hopefully, we can do this again. Guys, if you are loving the show, I would really appreciate it if you would leave me a rating and review on iTunes. It's one of the best ways that new listeners can find us. I want to thank Megan from Chicago. She says, as a fellow mother runner, All Have Another is both real and relatable. From runners I follow on social media to women with interesting stories, this is a perfect podcast. This is a perfect podcast for a workout or a car ride with my crazy children. Thanks, Lindsay, for motivating me and making me laugh at the same time. Thanks, Megan, for that review. I really appreciate it. I hope you guys all had a wonderful Christmas and that you will have a fun New Year's Eve. And thank you, Generation UCAM, for sponsoring this episode of All Have Another podcast. And as always, I will see you next Friday for a new episode. Have a great weekend.